Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting The Instance. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/instance. Start living a better life today.
I stand here in this place, in this moment, not because I wish to, but because I have to. A result of action and consequence.
Welcome, one and all, to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 646. It is August 13th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson. As always, joined by Garrett Weinzierl. Garrett, welcome.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, man. How are you? What are you doing there? How you doing?
I'm good. How far down this rabbit hole do you want to go? the oldest chihuahua was very hard to get out of bed this morning. It's warm in Florida. I really need to mow my lawn. It's kind of bad.
Yeah. I didn't know you guys mowed them down there. Isn't it just jungle weed and you just sort of let it do whatever it's going
to
do?
Oh, God, if we did, it'd be Jumanji. What are you talking about, dude? No, I need to mow every weekend in the rainy season. It's bad.
That's a good point. Well, I'm really excited to make the following announcement that our good pal and fellow podcaster, co-host of The Gamer's Inn, and of course, the Angry Chicken, Jocelyn Moffat, joins us. Oh, actually, you got a new name now. Do you still do the Moffat thing?
I do. I'm Carney now.
You know, it's hard for me to remember because I've known you for so long. You've just always been Moffat. So I'm just going to say Joss Plays. How about that? Jocelyn is here.
That's fine, too.
Yeah. Jocelyn is here. It's so good to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
It's good to be here. And don't worry about the name thing. Garrett got it wrong for like a year and a half before he finally stopped messing it up.
It took a long time.
Yeah, it takes a really long time. I apologize.
No, it's all good.
For ever making a change like that. It's all on me.
How dare you decide to change your name?
Yeah, it's one of those things, though. It's certainly here in the States. It's definitely a tax benefit to change one's name once the marriage happens. But it's easy to not remember. Like my daughter, Taylor, her last name's Straw now. I don't think of that ever. Like ever. Someone will say, who's your daughter? Oh, that's Taylor Johnson. She's like, Dad, I go by Straw now. I'm like, gosh, dang it. I don't remember.
I love that you introduce your children by their full name as opposed to just their first name and everyone assuming the last name because they're your offspring.
That's right. Well, I do what I can when I can, and often it's not correct. But anyway, we're glad to be here, everybody. Welcome to The Instance. And it's going to be a really interesting show today, I think. I did want to at least give some props early on, though, to the amazing work that you guys do on The Angry Chicken. Easily the most prominent in anyone's mind show about Hearthstone or focused on Hearthstone. And I know with all this Blizzard stuff going on, you guys have, you know, had your own challenges over there that the podcasting world around Blizzard games has had. And I think you've handled it really well and great. And I just wanted to say that publicly because I haven't really told you privately, but I think the Angry Chicken did a bang up job, if my opinion matters at all in this.
Well, thanks a lot for saying that. Obviously, it's been a rough, well, I mean, for Hearthstone, it's been a rough like 18 months or more. So
sure. Yeah. I mean, I just thought you guys did a really good job. In fact, generally speaking, I think the community on the whole has done a pretty good job. You know, I mean, I don't want to spend all day patting ourselves on the back, but I think everybody tried real hard to do good and to talk around this stuff the best they could and to hit the right issues and learn from it and, you know, all of that stuff, which reminds me, right now it's still happening. We haven't had a show, so I haven't had a chance to tell you on the air, but the charity featuring the Broken Hearthstone art that I did is up. I mentioned on the last episode of this show that was coming. That happened since we last spoke, and it's available now in forms such as stickers, t-shirts, buttons, and I forgot the other thing. There's one other thing. A print, of course, a full-size print of this thing. But basically, it's called the No Way Home print or button, sticker, shirt, whatever. They're available for people to grab and get from the store right now. 100% of the profits go to one of the following, or more, I guess, if you wanted to do three things, you could have it go to all three charities. But you can choose what charity you want your contribution to go to. So, for example, you may want to send it to Black Girls Code. It's an awesome organization. RAIN is another one, which deals with sexual violence, assault, and other issues facing women in the workplace and otherwise. And Women in Games International, another fine organization. They're linked on all three for each of the listings, so you can click and learn more and kind of find out maybe where you want your portion of that to go. Anyway, they're selling like crazy. The shirts are the hot ones, apparently. That turned out to be the thing people most wanted. But if you want to learn more, go check it out, frogpants.com/store. Again, 100%, every dime, every penny of the profits on these things go to these charities. And right now, I'm happy to say all three are kind of evenly spaced. So everybody seems to have a favorite, and they're all getting kind of just a third of it. So anyway, we don't know how long we're going to run this. Probably a little while longer. I want to make sure people get a chance if they haven't heard of it. So go and take my cathartic art attempt to deal with this in my own way, and then an attempt to maybe roll that into something good and make a difference. Let's see if we can't do even a bigger difference. So go check it out. frogpants.com/store. And they're the first listings you'll see there. So
you can, I ordered two buttons.
Oh, you did you?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, look good on you. One for each nipple, or what's the plan there? What are you going to do?
That is the plan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how you knew that. That's a little personal, but yeah.
Well, if it was one for each nipple, then why didn't you get three? Just kidding. He doesn't have three nipples. I made that up. That's a terrible thing to say about your good friend. Anyway, we're here. We're doing it. We got it going on. I do want to say I've made a great sacrifice in the last couple of weeks, and then I would just like to share it for the show. All right. I played a completely ununderstandable Chinese MMO called Swords of Legends. Okay. Got to level 38, almost 40. I really like it, but I have no idea what's going on because the translation's terrible. So there's number one. That's sacrifice number one. I did this for the people.
That almost sounds like a feature, though. I could see playing a very bad translation as endlessly entertaining.
It kind of is. It's ridiculously entertaining in a weird way, and the voice work is horrendous, and even then I don't know what they're saying. It's just incomprehensible. But it's also mechanically and kind of like, I don't know, tonally and progression wise is actually a pretty fun game, and the end game's supposed to be really good. So I'm still poking in there, but sacrificed a little time in there. I also made a ninja in Black Desert Online, all right, just to kind of see what's going on in there. And it's what you think it is. Very pretty. Lots of grinding. It's whatever it is. And also slightly incomprehensible story-wise. A brand new game was released this week, last week, a Korean MMO called Blessed Unleashed. I guess it's based on some property called Blessed, which I don't know anything about. Downloaded it, installed it, a little more action-oriented. It's okay. Again, don't really know what's going on. There's wizards, you know, and guys with swords. I know that.
You don't say. There's wizards in an MMO.
Yeah. Weird, right? And then I reinstalled Guild Wars 2. I've been playing that a little bit. And a little bit of Final Fantasy 14 because I wanted to... There's a whole story behind that we'll get to in a future episode. But all of that. But then also Elder Scrolls Online, which I play pretty consistently and have for years. So I guess what I'm saying is I went down a bit of a hole and I did it for the show, or at least that's how I'm justifying it. So there. Could you guys ever see, Jocelyn, have you ever done that where you're like, I'm gonna go down a weird rabbit hole and play every version of this I can find, and you just kind of get obsessed with it? Or is this a me problem?
Well, I mean, I think it might be a you problem. I mean, like, I've definitely tried out a whole bunch of different things. Like, right now I'm really into, like, simulation city builders. Like, I'm playing every single one I can find on Steam, and some of them are really bad, and some of them are outright, like, offensive. Mm. But, yeah, I know, Garrett's making faces at me, but I'm telling you, like, some of the things...
The buildings spell out insults to your mother? Like, how...
They're like trying to like do the whole post-apocalyptic thing, and like what Frostpunk did with like the laws and like making hard and weird choices, except for they're applying it to current social issues, and you're just like, no.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, no, yeah, don't do
that's
that.
No good. That's dangerous.
Yeah, bad. Some of them are bad.
have you played New World or Old World, sorry? Not New World the MMO, but Old World the 4X city builder game. Have you played that?
I haven't yet. It's on my list.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I love City Builders, and I haven't played like a new one in forever. I just like recently replayed the Jurassic Park Park Builder.
That Evolution?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the sequel. I'm very, very ready for it.
Yeah, that was a great game. And I did this exact, well, this is hilarious. I did this exact same thing maybe 2 months ago where I went and got them all. every 4X game I could find, every city builder. I played Nebuchadnezzar again. I played that Warhammer 40K Gladius, I think, Gladius, whatever it's called, which is like, you know, take civilization and remove everything but combat, and that's basically that game. And I just couldn't stop. And then I talked about them on a show, you know, basically barfed it all up on a show. And then I was like, I don't need to play another city builder for like a year. I'm good.
You tried Imagine Earth? Because Imagine Earth is my current jam.
No, but I keep hearing it's cool. You're the fourth person really to good. Tell me that. Oh, I'm going to have to get it.
Oh, this looks cool.
It's supposed to be cool.
I have not played this.
The hangup I had is, well, maybe you can tell me if it should be a hangup or not, but the way the people's mouths move freaked me out.
Oh, man. The voiceover is like weird.
Yeah. Kind of weird
bad. It's weird.
Yeah.
Who listens to city builders? That's like prime podcast listening time for me. I'm a tinker away at my little mini city, and I'm gonna catch up on podcasts.
Imagine Earth seems
what anyone's saying. My biggest complaint about ESO is I can't listen to anything while I play it because the whole damn thing is voiceover, and it's actually really well done.
So well done.
We got to talk about that today because that's actually a big part of what they do to separate themselves. And in some ways, I think it stops some players who are used to the kind of, wow, I need to be distracted. I can watch Futurama while I play a video game kind of people. And I'm one of those people. I love that. I love a game where I can kind of passively play it and then have something else going on. I don't know what that says about us as a people, but I do like that. And this game wants you to listen and pay attention. And I would actually argue Final Fantasy XIV does the same thing. That story is kind of everything to that game. And if you're not paying attention, you just feel like you're going through the motions and you got to get out of there. So we'll get into all that stuff. In fact, let's do it now. Why not? Today, we're going to talk about ESO. We're going to take a big deep dive, and we'd like you to come with us. So to start us off, I am going to play some dialogue that came from the game. And this was a scene I actually played through myself and liked so much that I just really liked it. I played a little bit at the intro. I'll play a little more now. And this will just give you a taste of, I guess, the quality they achieve with their storytelling, their VO work. And some would say it's a little stunty because they do hire like really well-named or known people. People like John Cleese plays a very notable character and is a bit of a comic relief for the game. Alfred Molina plays one of my favorite characters in the game. Bill Nighy, dude who played Roose Bolton in Game of Thrones, plays a fantastic character. Peter Stormare. It's an amazing cast, and it really does draw you in when you're playing it. But anyway, here's just a taste of one of my favorite interactions.
Do you like this place? It took me the better part of a decade to perfect it. Every stone and flower tells a story. Tales of how things were. How they ought to be. I thought about destroying it on more than one occasion. I'm glad I didn't.
I mean, tell me that isn't cool, man. How cool is that?
It's like, I'm like goosebumps.
See, I knew Jocelyn would jive on this because we've talked about this before. The game has a way of like dragging you in tonally and atmospherically that other MMOs just don't do. Other MMOs are either saying, well, read this text as the interaction between you and the NPC or whatever it happens to be. Or sometimes it's voiced, but oftentimes you're running around and it feels disjointed and disconnected or whatever. And it just doesn't have heft to it. And I would argue that this game, while, you know, a bit like previous Elder Scrolls games, when you have conversations with NPCs or other characters, it's still sort of a talking head and there's not a lot of interactivity going on, but it's definitely a step above how things looked in Oblivion and Skyrim and other games previous to that. And the voice acting is never bad. Even the names that you don't know, like these non-actors, are all professionals. Like, Liam O'Brien, the entire cast of Critical Role is in this thing. Every major voice actor you've ever heard from is there. I ran around with female Captain Shepard. What's her name? Well, I can't think of the voice actor. She's amazing. Can't think of her name.
I don't know her name offhand. I cannot help you.
Ah! All I can think of is Rex going, Shepard, Shepard. And I can't. Oh, Jennifer Hale. Jennifer
normally
Hale.
I'm like on it.
Jennifer Hale.
Jennifer Hale. That's it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She
sorry, Jennifer
she,
Hale.
She plays a main character, a Nord warrior, and she's awesome. Oh my gosh, she's so good. And you just get sucked so hard into these stories that it's one of the things that makes it special. But let's get to the basics of it. We'll talk about what we like, what we don't, what we think they could do better. And for some of us, like Garrett feels like he's sort of just scratched the surface of the thing. I've spent a ton of time in it, especially recently. And I'm here to say I think that this game can appeal to both those just starting to peek in and get their feet wet. And I think veterans are finding a lot to do as well. The game has its problems. It's not perfect. It certainly had bigger problems in the past and has rectified a lot of that. But we'll get into all that in a second. So let me start off with some brief description stuff. There are four big games right now in the MMO space, I would argue. It's WoW, it's Final Fantasy XIV, it's Guild Wars 2, it's Elder Scrolls Online. There's lots of different smaller ones, different niches, different stuff. I mentioned a bunch I played before we started into this topic. There, you know, a lot of MMOs out there, and we're not even getting into how much stuff is on mobile and is available in other, you know, formats and stuff. So it's just the market is awash with things right now. ESO in particular is one that's been here and with us since April of 2014. It came out on PC and Mac first. A lot of people think it simultaneously happened on consoles. That did not happen until 2015. But here's what they did. ZeniMax Online Studios is the developer. It was published by Bethesda and was shown, it was 2014, right? I have that right in my head. I hope I wrote that down right. Anyway.
It was longer ago than I'd like to think that it was.
Yeah, 2014. Doesn't that feel like 2 minutes ago, but also 100 years ago? I don't like it. I don't like how that feels. Time sucks.
It was early 2014 too. Damn, April.
Yeah, April, right? Anyway, it was originally a mandatory monthly fee style game, like World of Warcraft, like a lot of MMOs at the time. And then it transitioned from that a year later or so, March 2015, to a buy-to-play model with microtransactions, optional subscription, lots of, you know, cosmetics, a store, and all that stuff. So they very quickly got off of the, we're not making it here as a sub. So if it took us 7 years to make this game, we should probably figure out a way to make this work. So they did. The game was then renamed The Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited. This is when the game really mattered to me, because this was not only when they moved it to consoles and kind of got a broader base for the game, but this is when they said, look, the whole world scales with you. Some people don't like this. We'll get to that in a minute. But the game basically flattened the world so that you could go anywhere at any level at any time and participate in any content you wanted to. And to some that may sound like, well, if everything's possible, then nothing's possible. You know, or is it too much? Like, whatever. What the main difference was is instead of you creeping up to a zone that you were under leveled for and getting annihilated on the border, you just now sort of blend into everything. And if you get tired of a zone or a place and you're like, I want to go somewhere else, I want some different story, you can just freaking go there and do it. You get into one of the shrines and you can teleport across the land and go to someplace else and start some other thing. And that includes like brand new content. You could do a level one and play the latest expansion story and content through level, you know, however far you get, level 10, level 12, whatever it is. And that's your first zone. And then you could then leave there and go back to the first vanilla zone that came out in 2014. And that could be the second thing you do and everything in between. So to me, that was a big deal. To me, that opened the game up in a way that made it possible for me to really get into it and not, and for whatever reason, not feel like I was, I don't know, stuck in the same old rut with every other MMO that I'd played up to that point. Anyway, the game sold somewhere in the 15 million copies by 2020. That's a lot. We don't know what the monthly active users are. My guess is it's somewhere in the millions, but no one ever reports these numbers anymore, so nobody knows. Here are some other basics. The races. Humans are the Nords, the Red Guards, the Bretons, and the Imperials. The Elvish races include the Dunnar, or the Dark Elves, the Altmer, rather, the High Elves, which is my favorite race to play. I like their bonuses.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, do you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I always play a High Elf.
What is it about High Elves do you like?
I don't know. They're just pretty. Yeah, they're I like being pretty. I play a blood elf too. Come on. Like, yeah,
good point. But they're not, I mean, yes, they look good. And I think the other two elves are kind of gnarly looking. They just look, I don't know. They're nasty, right?
Listen, listen, don't you, you watch your mouth about wood elves.
Wood elves are okay. They're okay. And they're good with bows, and I'll give them, you know, credit where it's deserved. But something about the high elves, I don't know if it's just because they're so regal looking or.
Well, I think it's their armor too. Their armor is very like Lord of the Ringsy in my head. Yeah. And I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. So yeah. And if when I think of like Lord of the Rings elvish, like I think high elves, and that always draws me in.
Totally agree. It's a. It's also, if you're going to do the Somerset expansion, which is one of my favorites.
It's really good.
It's so good with when you play with one of them. It's perfect. It's perfect. Like if you're really, you know, role playing, having, you know, going deep, which the game, I think, really encourages. And I want to get into that later, too, because I think that there's a discussion to be had. And maybe it's a broader one and maybe it's a topic for a later day. But this discussion about how to make role playing games more role play again. And I don't just mean everyone's going on Discord. Yes. High Lord Filthington. Wilt thou touch my sword? Or, you know what I mean?
Like, oh,
I
don't, no, Scott, why?
You know what I mean, though? Like, I don't want
to be a better way to say that.
Right? So, like any other example.
Anything else.
I don't know why I use that, but you know what I mean? And Filthington's a terrible name. But, right. It's a really bad name.
I'm a Filthington. It's everything else I take issue with.
And no, you know, I'm not here to tell anybody who's got whatever role play you got going on in your Goldshire slash what's the Final Fantasy has a whole like prostitution district. There's like weird stuff in these games where it's all community driven, right? They're all making their own little MySpace zone.
What were you doing on MySpace?
That's my God.
Not MySpace. What am I?
I was making people listen to terrible music when they entered my page with their animated mouse cursor. Wait, what were you doing?
What am I thinking of? It's not MySpace. What was the virtual world?
I don't know.
My life.
The AOL chat rooms. I don't know.
My life. Your second life. That's it.
Second life. There it is.
That's what my I meant. Life.
My life.
Yeah. Scott, MySpace and Facebook have joined forces. Please subscribe to my face. Thank you.
Subscribe to my face, please.
Isn't that just Instagram?
It is now.
I mean, it depends if you're a food Instagrammer or a selfie Instagrammer. Because if you're a selfie Instagrammer, then it is my face.
If it's food, it's pie face, right? See what I did there? That's pretty good.
There it is.
Anyway. but yes, all high elves all the time. They're awesome. And also they're specifically like mechanically, they have really great passives and stuff you can unlock on their passive tree, and the tree stuff we'll get to in a second, because that's where I think maybe the game gets complicated for people. Their skill system is a little unwieldy. They've done some things to try to help that. But boy, when you want to min-max at endgame, you're like, all right, I'm going to go look and see what some builds are for a good stamina-based sorcerer or whatever. And you go look up these things you got to do. And it's a list, man. Like, it's like gear, what you have to craft, what you have to quest for, what you have to get dropped from some raid or whatever. Not that unusual in terms of MMOs, if you think about it, but it just feels like a giant list of those things. And then very specific, like weapon swap, hotbar swappy concepts and stuff. I think the game does a great job of letting you explore and kind of make what you want to make or what feels good to you. But if you're a min-maxer, this game's got, they've got maxes to min, if that makes sense. So anyway, there's that. Let's see what else. I mentioned, wood elves and orcs as well, of course. The orcs are kind of humans with weird teeth. They don't really look very orky, but that's Elder Scrolls. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls.
Every Elder Scrolls game ever has just looked like, I don't know, like a human got a mask from a Halloween store. And that's your new race. Like everything is so literally humanoid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everyone has like the posture's too good. I need some hunched over.
You need some hunching.
Yeah,
yeah. Everyone's just walking around like they got a stick where it shouldn't be.
Well, let me give you. I got good news for you because the game features. I mean, this may not be enough, but the game features these, well, it's part of the appearance stuff, but basically it's positions you can, when you're standing idle, what you're doing. So I unlocked one of them because I was doing Dark Brotherhood, or not Dark Brotherhood.
Yeah, I got a Dark Brotherhood one. Yeah, yeah, where you're just like, you're I want to be too cool for anime school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's totally true. There's another one where you're just angry and you're kind of like, and you're clenching your fists and they're sort of shaking. There's one where you're sort of happy and sitting back like this, like everything's great. So they do, they try to liven some of that up. I'm not sure it's always perfect, but the other two races.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I forgot about it. And you're right. I think that does add a lot to the game.
Plus,
some of them are a little absurd,
right?
To be the your idle animation, but yeah,
some are. I mean, I like them because it's just more stuff to unlock, and I like that feeling of checking off stuff and going, sweet, I got four more of these. All right, cool. I think MMOs are at their best when they let you collect a bunch of stuff, even if it's not, you know, game affecting. I like collecting. The bestial races in the game, the Khajiit and the Aragonians. The Aragonians are basically lizard people. This is the most non-humanoid the game gets, although body-wise, they're still pretty humanoid. But the Khajiit in general, I remember being super annoyed. I think we talked about this, Joss, on your episode of The Gamer's Inn, but I used to not like them because I was like, wow, cats, dude. Freaking, I don't want to be a cat. Like, it's just weird. It's like cat heads on bodies and a tail, and I don't want to look at a tail all day. And, you know, I don't know what it was. It wasn't my thing. But the Elsewhere expansion for Elder Scrolls Online completely flipped the script on that for me. I love those guys now. And it's the story that they told me. That's the characters they introduced around the Khajiit and their home cities and the lore behind it and their ancient weird stuff and the desert they live in is so awesome. Now I'm all into it and I want to make like three more cats. So I'm all about the cats now. Cats are great. Let's move on. We did races. Classes. Dragon Knight, Sorcerer, Nightblade, Templar, Warden, and Necromancer. Dragon Knights are, I don't know, magic and melee at their core, although you can kind of do anything with this game. But Sorcerers are, you know, magic, obviously. Nightblades are very much about sneaking around and stealthing and stabbing you in the back. High single target damage type stuff. Templars are, for the most part, healers of sorts. Wardens are kind of the only pet class in the game. Where you have just sort of a permanent pet. It's a bear. But you can also heal. There's a little bit of tanking going on. There's different stuff you can do there. And then the Necromancer, which is the most recent class introduced in the game, which I think that hit with... that was Somerset? No, Elsewhere? I don't remember. That's an interesting class because it is what you think it is. You're raising skeletons. You're chucking, you know, skulls at people. You got all kinds of dark magic and stuff. But also, everyone hates you. So when you're in cities, if you set off one of your skills in the city, and it warns you about this when you choose them, but if you fire off one of those by accident, you just tap in keys, oops, I sent a skeleton toward a dog or whatever you're doing, you're toast, man. Every guard in the city will tackle you, take you down, put you in jail. You got to pay a bunch of money to get out. It's like, it's rough. So I guess what I'm saying is be careful, necros. Don't be popping off in town, okay?
I accidentally killed a chicken and everyone got pretty mad at me and I was not a necromancer. I think the key is to just not murder things you shouldn't murder unless you know what you're getting into.
But this is the problem. When you're in a game and you come up on a town like in Skyrim or something and there's a chicken and that's all there is. Everyone else is gone, right? There's just you and a chicken and NPCs are off, whatever. Your temptation, because it's a video game, is to go, ooh, can I target that? Oh, I can. What happens if I kill the chicken? No one will care. It's just a chicken. And now you're on the wanted list. Now everyone hates you and you're going to go to jail. They're going to take your stuff and your money. Like,
it sounds like a grander, like, psychological question. Like, if no one's around, what do you do to the chicken?
Right.
Oh, I am a horrible person in video games. I was never the kid that shot squirrels with BB guns. I love squirrels. I'm very kind to animals in real life, but like in video games, I murder everything. Can I murder it? I just want to know how far I can go in any game. In any game, if there's a thing, like The Sims, for crying out loud, we were talking about city builders earlier, dude. Like, it was like, could I delete a door and just watch this AI starve? Oh yes, I can. Wow. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, it's how
it's
I go.
It's a video game. You're supposed to experiment. But Joss makes a good point. Like, you know, if you're alone in a desert and no one's around, what do you do to the chicken, right?
Well, am I starving in the desert? Because yeah. It's a desert. Now I might need to eat.
Yeah. Well, all right. Killing and eating the chicken for sustenance and, you know, honoring the chicken and using the whole chicken and, you know, all of those things. This is good that you do that.
Making a hat out of the feathers.
Right. But if if you're well fed and you got plenty of water and you're coming around a corner and there's a chicken and no one else is around, what do you do?
And this is how the first McDonald's got started.
Oh, we were lied to. I saw the founder. It was not how. That's not what they told me.
Always getting a bounty, even if no one is around to see you like commit shit, like bothers me a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things in this game.
Well, I think that only happens if you kill things, right? Because you can like sneak into houses and like steal stuff, and if right. nobody sees you, you can get away with it. Yeah. As long as you don't get caught with stolen stuff in your inventory.
Right.
That also kind of irritates me. I'm like, well, how would they know it's stolen? Does everybody write their name in their underwear in Morrowind? Like, what's going on here? Why do they even know?
No, that's a really good point. Though they just become red items in your bag, and you can't sell
them. Go to the fence and
you have to fence them exactly. It's, and some of that's worth big money though, so it's nice. It's a nice way to make some cash in the game.
Oh yeah, I steal. I played quite a bit last week, and I was stealing everything I could find. But I was also playing Nightblade, so I was like sneaking around. I was getting past guards with mostly little issue.
Yeah.
There was one moment where I went. Yeah.
And you can pickpocket and they can notice you. Like, they've tried to include that stuff in the game. It's important to note here, though, that if what I'm describing to people sounds like your Skyrim experience, it is scaled back from that. Not everything is pick up and put it in your pocket the way it is in Skyrim. Skyrim literally lets you take every block of cheese, every pot, every anything, anywhere, laying anywhere, and put it in your inventory and become encumbered and then use a cheat code and never have to worry about it again. That's how Skyrim works. This game isn't quite like that. The game's got barrels and boxes and bags and stuff that are scattered around the world that have stuff in them.
I thought you were about to start singing part of their world.
They're part of their world. See? I know where that's
barrels and bags and cheese wields plenty.
Mm-hmm, see? That's pretty good. Anyway, so you can click on that stuff and it'll say, oh, you got some rice or, hey, you picked up some other cooking ingredient or some lockpicks or whatever. And use that in some of the crafting in the game. So the game tries to replicate some of that. Some of these urns have stuff in them. Some of them don't. Blah, 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 blah. But not everything is lootable. Not everything in the way that Skyrim is, I should say. So they try to have Elder Scrolls-like behaviors in the game. In some cases, it is noticeable that they're scaled back or that they're not quite as, you know, open-worldy as you might want. And I actually think that this worked against the game in the early days. I think people are kind of over it now, but in those early days, all you could do was compare this to a game like Skyrim, because that's what came before. What's weird, it was only 3 years later, 3-4 years later, that we got this after Skyrim. It's nuts to me, but anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got, 17 Skyrim re-releases in the interim?
Yeah, something like that. That's a good point. Like, probably not done.
We're still getting Skyrim re-releases, but yeah, that the first time I played it, like, I haven't played a ton of it, but you know, the first time I played it a couple of years back, I was just like, oh, wow, this is just Elder Scrolls. It's an Elder Scrolls game. It just happens to be online, which I think is a good or bad thing, depending on your tastes.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's impressive as hell. Like, it's just so different from any MMO I've played by virtue of being so similar to every Elder Scrolls game I've ever played.
Right. And
well, and it kind of lets you play on a bit of a spectrum, as you can go like all the way into the multiplayer experience or go all the way the other way into the single player experience. Like, there is so much questing content that you can spend your time however you want in the game, which is something that, like, you kind of in any other MMO I've played before, it's usually like you play through the content and then that's kind of it. But it's like in Elder Scrolls, it's like you hit max level and there's still, like, you haven't done 80% of the quest content. Like there's just so much. It's like every corner you come around, somebody else has some experience for you.
Yeah.
So you can go crazy down that single player route, or you can do all of the like big, huge arena PvP stuff. You can go in and do the raids. You can do dungeons. Like you can do all that multiplayer stuff, mm-hmm. but you can choose any kind of combination of that in between. It's such a rich single player experience. Like if you're looking for Elder Scrolls 6, like come play ESO, because this basically is the next Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
back in just, time.
And it's just constantly getting more. Like,
yeah.
It to me, like the high point of it is like the narrative elements, like the story, like every dumb little quest is the like.
It's not a dumb little quest.
Yeah. Go back to that clip. Like the voice acting is amazing. Like it reminds me of like what's so good about The Witcher and why I still haven't beaten The Witcher 3 is because I keep getting distracted by amazing side quests.
Yeah. No, this is, I'm glad you brought up that comparison. I would actually say one of the reasons I like ESO so much is it reminds me of the care taken for side questing in something like The Witcher. There's no just fetch it, bring it back, and we're done. That doesn't work that way in this game. Every single quest, including non-main story, non-epic, non-whatever storyline quest, just a guy sitting around, you walk past him and he goes, ah, these darn beetles are running around again or whatever. And you talk to him and you think, oh, he'll have me kill 10 beetles and then give me a reward. It's always more than that. You end up going to some dungeon with that guy, finding out his sister, runs a weird witch coven, and now you got to figure that thing out. Like, it always goes deeper than you expect. It's always 100% voiced and acted, and always goes places you don't expect. And every time I do one of those side quests, I think, well, I'll just knock this one out, and then I'll get back on the main train here. No, it doesn't work that way. Like it's always 10 meaningful.
10 hours later.
Yeah, 10 hours. And it's not even like a. I don't know. The game doesn't feel like it overstays its welcome in those quests. It's just such a different way of approaching the side business that you're used to in an MMO, and all of them handle it slightly different. I was thinking in Guild Wars 2, which I was playing a little bit last night. You know, the game still relies on this sort of walk up to a farm. Oh, it turns out you got to do a bunch of stuff around this farm, and it's more like the world is giving you quests as you move through it. That's the kind of their way of doing it. Their way here is like, and it's a big commitment. I don't know how they did this to themselves, but they're like, you know what? We're going to make every single quest have a meaningful, impactful story behind it. Every character is going to matter. You're going to have stuff that you talked about months ago that will come up again because you helped somebody with something. And they got a new quest with this new side character that has nothing to do with the grand scheme of things. Like that to me is kind of what sets them apart. Well, 100% it is for me. It's the thing that makes the game special. And it may not be for everybody. Some people just want to click, 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 skip, 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 go do the next thing. And you can skip dial. I mean, you can, you know, click through these guys.
Oh, yeah, you can skip. Yeah, you can skip through everything. I wouldn't recommend it because everything in it is so thoroughly well written and thought out and voice acted that I feel like skipping through things just makes me really sad when I think of it, because I sit there and almost treat it like I'm going to go watch an ESO movie or something. Mm-hmm. Like I just sit there and I'm like, okay, like click on this dude. Now sit back and tell me a story. Right. And I just sit there and it takes a while. Like it's definitely not a quick experience if you're trying to get everything out of ESO that they've put in there for you. But it's, I think, a more laid back, fun, immersive experience than some of the other stuff I've played.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think it's, I think I get more out of it when I'm ready to be immersed. Like I need to put myself in the same headspace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm going to go play a game of D&D. Like,
yes,
like I need to almost be that in that exact same headspace when I go to play ESO. Obviously it's less role playing on my part, but it really does feel like I'm like sitting there listening to a really bought in DM mm-hmm. who spent way too much time preparing for this weekend's campaign.
Yeah.
Just go off with their crazy voices.
Well, with all that said,
basically it's like hanging out with Kyle. That's what I'm trying to say. It's very much like hanging out with Kyle Ferguson when I play.
It's ESO. Just being Kyle's friend, really, is what this is like. But these are really important points to why I think the game succeeds, but also in some players' cases, I would understand why this would feel like a hindrance or why it would feel like too much. If you're used to, even in a game like Skyrim, let's go back to that. if you skipped all those quest dialogues, then you're going to do it here too. Like if you already weren't into that there, you're probably not going to be into it here, because this is true to that experience. And it should be. It's an Elder Scrolls game. A lot of people don't know this thing's set, what, 300 years before the events of Skyrim? So we're talking.
I think it's more. I thought it was like 800, wasn't it?
Is it 800 or 1,000? I always forget.
It's way, way before. It's in the before times.
Yeah, it's way before.
It only matters if you're really into the lore. It's like Elder Scrolls ass Elder Scrolls. Knights of the Old Republic is so long before the events of the Star Wars trilogy. There's lightsabers and spaceships.
Totally.
What I want.
No, that's a perfect.
I think
that's
it's more to like to separate it from the games that they did in the single player space. They're like, you know, enough time has passed that we're going to touch on all the characters that you may have read about in those lore books, but we're not going to do things that will impact the events of our single player content.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's to its strength, because Jocelyn, you said it earlier and I just want to reiterate it. I really like feeling like I'm playing a single player MMO experience, because right now in my life, it's what I have the most time for. I'd love to be, you know, raiding with a giant group again. I'd love all those things to be real, but they just don't fit my schedule. And so I still need that itch scratched. And this scratches it the most, again, for me, because I feel like I'm actually playing a single player game that just happens to have other people in it. Usually it's the other way around. This is a game with tons of people in it that I can do a little bit of single player in. This is the flip of that. And I don't think a lot of people know that. I think a lot of people are concerned that this leans way too hard into the multiplayer aspects, so that the single player part gets watered down. And I'm here to tell you, I think that is the opposite of that impression. The game really takes this part of it seriously. And that makes me happy, because that's what I like to play. One thing I wanted to mention was, you can pay $15 a month for the game if you want to. It's called ESO Plus. It's not required to play the game. Basically, they do it like, there are other MMOs that do this, but you know, you buy a game for, you buy your expansion or your original content for $49, and then you have the game and you play it as much as you want. And if you want, you have a store to get cosmetics and some other stuff. Think Path of Exile or, you know, other free to play games. Even this is the model that they're going for, but ESO Plus gets you some stuff. And I do it because I really like the stuff I get. You get faster XP.
I do it, and then I forget about it. And then I end up with an ESO Plus subscription for like a year when I'm not actually playing. Yeah. And then I come back to the game, and because it gives you like the monthly like chunk of their currency, I end up with like $200 worth of currency every time I come back. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, damn, now I can buy all the cool mounts.
Yeah, they love it when you come back.
It only costs you.
Yeah, you don't think about that, Gary. You don't point that out. Well, point out about this big, giant pile of coins I have every time I come back to ESO.
Right, because she's talking about the ESO Plus store currency, which
is really
valuable, because as it turns out, that's how you get all of the different mount types that you don't get through questing. So if you want to get a limited time mount, this is how you're going to get it. If you're going to get into the housing system in the game, which we haven't even touched on, that housing system is massive and crazy, because you can buy castles, like stuff that's too big for 100 people to live in, and fill it full of furniture that you've either crafted, bought, discovered, whatever. And those
things, you can literally just go in, live a simple life, buy a house and be a carpenter.
Yeah.
And just run around and collect wood and just craft tables. Yeah. And that could be your ESO experience if you want.
Yeah. And you've got your own instanced house where you can have all your parties. That's where the role play is probably happening, is somebody's, you know, they bought a mansion.
Somebody's house. Yeah. We're just not cool enough to get the invites yet.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I mean, Scott seems very knowledgeable about this creepy role play stuff that's happening. So
let me put it this way. I have a palatial escape home in Northern Elsewhere that is gigantic, and sometimes friends come over. That's all I'm going to say. That's it.
Why did you make it sound so weird?
I don't know. Because that's how I do things. I make everything sound weird.
Sometimes friends come over.
Sometimes they come over. Okay, before we keep talking about housing, I want to tell you about this real quick. Yes, my friends, that's our good pals over at BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp. Oh, man. You got to ask yourself some questions, like what interferes with your happiness or prevents you from achieving your goals at work, at home, whatever, right? Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and help you with your own problems with a licensed professional therapist. You connect in a very safe, very private online environment, so it's very convenient, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. Well, that's right away. All without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. And they're committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to do that. And BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And financial aid is available. I mean, what do you have to lose? They're available for clients worldwide, and BetterHelp offers a broad range of expertise, which may not, you know, happen so easily locally for you. Anything you share is confidential. It's convenient, professional, affordable. And you get the kind of help you need. Depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping issues, trauma, anger, grief, whatever it may be, they've got help for you. So many people have been using them that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So here's what you need to do. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/instance. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/instance for your first month. And that 10% off. Go do it right now. All right, let's get back to the discussion about housing. But it's beautiful. And sometimes you're going to pay like 50 grand for some of these things. And when I say grand, I mean the in-store currency, which you can buy with real money. Or like Jocelyn said, it accumulates every month. You get 1600 or something for free as part of the of the plus sub.
Yeah, it's part of your sub.
There's a whole other aspect to the game that's actually leaving soon or being altered, where it's a loot box system that's like a kind of a separate third tier thing. With the purchase of the game, or the purchase of Bethesda and ZeniMax by Microsoft earlier this year, something about Microsoft's deal with international something government, I don't know what. I wish I knew all the proper terms for this, but basically they can't do loot boxes anymore because of some agreement that was made somewhere in the world somewhere. So Microsoft's, so they've announced basically they have to take that out and replace it with a different way of doing it. So I actually think that's a good idea because I hate loot boxes, but.
Yeah, I hate the crates. I mean, like, I get good stuff out of them, so I buy them because also I'm a Hearthstone player, so it's something I'm used to. Right. Like, because it literally works just like Hearthstone cards. Like, they have a chance to roll Legendary or, well, Orange. I don't even know if it's called Legendary in ESO, but yeah.
It's called Legendary. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're like purple and blue and
yeah, it's
like,
the same
and
thing.
And orange is the good one. Like,
yeah, they're all color coded like your Diablo loot, basically. It works kind of the same. But what I love about that is a Khajiit guy, Catman, sits down and goes, "Ah, this one is hoping you will win the thing. You are great. What are you doing here?" Like, I love those guys. They can do no wrong. They're so freaking great. Every time they say this,
they immerse you in everything. Yeah. Like even the opening the loot boxes, they're like, "Well, hello, welcome."
Yeah, and we didn't say this yet, but I think I'm of the personal opinion that the people like John are going to hate me saying this because he loves the music in Final Fantasy. Other people like whatever they like, but I think the best music, certainly in MMOs, maybe in gaming right now, is Brad Derrick and his soundtracks for the ESO games. They're incredibly epic, really true to some like original throwback, you know, stuff that you'd hear in early Elder Scrolls games, all the way back to one, back to Arena. But just amazing arrangements of those and original music. The zone music is incredible. The music is beautiful. I play this stuff all the time just to hear it. And it's all on Spotify, Apple Music. Everybody has, you know, all these albums. And every expansion gets released with its soundtrack. And they're amazing. Just amazing stuff. And it adds to this whole thing again. You're just like, oh, the minute I walk into, I don't know, Vivek's freaking pyramid castle thing in Morrowind, it's just overwhelmed you. That music's like, oh, I'm home again. Like, there's just something about all of that stuff that immerses me in it in a way that other MMOs don't. And that isn't to say that if you're really into Final Fantasy 14 and that music they got on there really does it for you, great. I have no qualms with that. But if you like me are just addicted to the texture of Western MMOs, meaning sort of the European King Arthur motif that we're all sort of used to, the Lord of the Rings vibe, that kind of fantasy, this game just covers you in it like a warm blanket and you feel like you're in it. Now, I think it's important to say, for some people, that is not going to do it. Garrett mentioned, it's not the kind of game you can just, you know, watch the football game while you play the game, or else you're going to lose out because you're not paying attention.
I mean, yeah, you can if all you're in for it is the grind, but like, what's, to me, what's so impressive about the game is how much care and effort is put into the story elements and voice acting and the music and all of that. Because, you know, we've talked about visually, it's a little janky. Mm-hmm. It's a Bethesda game. Like, sure, you kind of know what you're getting into,
right?
Visually speaking, but like, where it really is a cut above, I think, everything else out there is with the audio of the game.
Yeah.
Like everything about it, the music, the voice acting, the sound effects, everything.
Yeah. For me, if it's weak, it's character animation and movement, and maybe even combat feels a little stiff. Where it's strong visually is architecturally, cinematically, sort of world-buildy. Underground cave with a giant temple in it looks incredible in this game. Like, it just is awe-inspiring to me to see that stuff. Some of the early zones, a little sparse, you know, from 2014, but that's to be expected with a game that evolves over time. But yeah, it's not a perfect bag, but all in all, it's the one MMO where I feel like I'm not just moving a little cartoon around. I feel like I'm in a world, and the world is all around me, and the mix of sound and visuals and music and characterization just put me in a place that I can't match somewhere else. So even though I know it has its problems and it has its loose ends, it's the one place I just feel comfortable going back to. Even if I take a long break, like Jocelyn with her $15 a month Canadian payment, which is more like 20 something. How's that work up there? Does it cost more for the monthly things? Because I know games in general are just more Canadian dollars, but how about just like a sub?
Oh yeah, the subs are like whatever your US price is, but then converted to our currency. And okay, there are some places now, like, I'm not sure if it's like legislative, and this is probably a whole other like tangent we don't necessarily want to go down, but like a lot of things have started to, like, Twitch subs included, and a lot of different games have started like localizing currency. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm, I don't know if it's a business decision or if it's a, like, because I like paying things in US dollars because I get US dollars from doing tax. So right, it's really nice. I just keep all that in my PayPal and I don't have to worry about like currency conversions and stuff. But yeah, whatever the reason is, a lot of things have localized. So then I pay much more.
I'm sorry, can we just shift this into gaming conversion rates, the podcast? Because now I'm fascinated by the fact that you can just like leave the money that comes in from the Angry Chicken in your PayPal and it just stays as U.S. currency.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
And then I could just pay in U.S. currency and it was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize that. So I can't do that now.
I was gonna say
in a lot of cases.
It feels like a bit of a loophole, and maybe they're plugging it, but
yeah,
I don't know why any of it's any, like, we got to get to a place, maybe crypto is trying to do this. We got to get to a place where we're all just on the same page, man. It's just the same. It's one big world. We all got COVID now anyway. Let's just go ahead and do our money together.
Let's share our money too.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's make this happen. It's no longer like a 5 month trip on a boat with dysentery to get anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, we don't live there anymore. It's,
you're right. We have a completely different disease we need to worry about instead of dysentery.
Right. One that we arguably wouldn't have if it wasn't for, you know, the world being so small now.
I'm sure there's multiple quests that had I played a few years ago in ESO where they're like, a terrible disease has scattered the land. If only people would quarantine. Me going, yeah. Oh, that's so unrealistic.
You know, these MMOs love that kind of story. In fact, I got some other audio here of somebody getting interrogated, and it was during a plague storyline. I'll just play that real quick here.
Please, I've told you everything I know.
One more lie and I make you stop talking. Permanently. Understand?
Now, those at home who are hearing that in stereo, we may be too here, you can hear it shifting left and right. It's the other thing I like about the game, and most MMOs do this, but the game's really good with spatial audio. So when I walk in a room and the lady's over here talking, I hear her in the left ear. And a dude over here saying something, I hear him more central or to the right. I don't know why that matters to me, but I like it. I feel like I'm in it to win it when that happens. And oh, the game lets you play in first person, because, you know, Elder Scrolls people demand it. But you know, by default, you're kind of pulled out a little bit with the camera. I go back and forth. You just hit the V key. Sometimes you want to be like first person. It's cool, but I think combat's better third. And I want to zoom way out when I'm doing a big, you know, raid boss or a world event. And it lets you choose. So That's a fun thing.
Almost never in first person.
Yeah. It's rare.
Ever.
It's the opposite of Skyrim in that it had a third person mode, but it sucked. He floated.
I still used it a lot. Did you? Seeing my character in these games, but so yes, bad. I agree.
Yeah. Maybe better in Skyrim, but I don't know if you remember Oblivion. It was terrible. You were a floaty nightmare in that thing. It was bad.
Have we gotten into this? Kyle's heard me rant a ton of times. I hated Bethesda games until Skyrim. Like every single one. I was like, why do people like these games? They look like butt. They play like butt. Like I don't get it. I have more respect for it now. I didn't play role-playing game. Like I never played pen and paper role-playing games until like my mid-20s.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really just have a head for kind of letting my kind of imagination enhance kind of standard fantasy for me.
Yeah.
But then Skyrim came out and I had, played some pen and paper and loved it. Absolutely loved it. But before that, I was just like, this is just like, ooh, do they have an art director? Because it kind of looks like, oh, we need skeletons. What does a skeleton look like? I don't know. I got this skeleton off of Google Images. That's what we put in the game.
Sure.
Like, there's no intelligent design behind the way things look.
Sure.
And it used to really bother me, and I've come around on it. Although I still think Fallout is the ugliest game ever made.
Oh man, look at you, Fallout. Which Fallout? Which one?
All of them.
Okay.
Fallout has the most offensive art direction for me. It's just so.
You don't mean that?
Oh,
it's
I don't
dirty...
know. We're wearing jumpsuits, and this is what Rust looks like. The whole game looks like jumpsuit Rust.
All right, but fair enough. I think that's a fair point. I love the world of Fallout, but I love it because I love post-apocalyptic whatever. You're not
four. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever the last one was, that wasn't the online nightmare. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time with it. But growing up, I was like, oh my god, could you guys try and design something as opposed to just making it literally what that thing is?
I think the games have always, their strengths have been depth and not that front end stuff. I don't think you're wrong about any of that. I will say that I think ESO corrects a lot of that. But it's still one of those, like, you're not going to mistake this for some other game. You're going to get in and go, oh yeah, look at that. Like there's a bar up top that tells me where all my shit is to go to. And one of them's this quest little marker. All right, I'll go that direction. And when you talk to a dude and take the new quest, the little sound goes gudung dung and makes the noise. And it's very much trying to be one of those things. But I think that this is the best iteration of the game. And this, I get a lot of heat for this because there are people that revere Skyrim. Just revere it, and they should. It's an amazing game. Like not only amazing. It's one of the most influential, most longstanding, most reproduced things. Okay, I get it. But I think my favorite game is ESO because ESO continues to grow and gets added onto. And for what I loved Skyrim for, I'm getting it over here, mostly in a single player type experience, and multiplayer if I want it, and I really like it. By the way, I haven't mentioned this, but when you hit level 50, you get kind of a, I don't know what to compare it to, maybe Paragon and Diablo, kind of a Paragon system. They are shit poor at advertising this, by the way, because it seems like on the surface, it seems like, okay, you play ESO, you hit level 50, and then what? Raid, PvP, your usual, like that's the impression a lot of people have, I had. But when you do max a character, suddenly you open up these skill trees and passives and opportunities to take your character in all different kinds of new ways in very much that Paragon style. So now when you're doing content and you're not actually getting levels for it, you are still sort of getting levels for it, like Diablo Paragon works. And that was a lovely surprise, but terribly advertised. They don't do a good job of explaining that. So I wish they do better. Anyway. What else can we say about this thing? The game today, start anywhere, do anything you want, and at any level. The skill system is a mixed bag for a lot of people. I think it's fine, but it's just kind of all over the place. I mean, literally, the minute you pick up a sword, you could be a wizard, a sorcerer, pick up a sword, now you've got a sword skill tree, a one-handed sword skill tree. You pick up a two-handed sword, now you have a two-handed sword skill tree that you can add points to if you want to. And it goes every weapon all across the board. Everybody can use anything they want. But obviously some are going to benefit people better for their classes than they would otherwise. But you know, I've
same
got
for armor types as well. It's same, as soon as you wear something or do something, then all of a sudden you have a skill tree for it.
Right. If you exactly if you're doing light armor because you're mostly, you know, a clothy mage type, there's a whole bunch of skills and passives you can unlock for wearing that armor. And it's and some of that stuff's really powerful. But even like, well, like I mentioned earlier, your race has a bunch of stuff you can unlock. Your class has three whole categories of class systems to unlock, and then you choose which one you want. There's across, it's just, it's actually really kind of complex in a way that I think may be off-putting at first, but I like it because I feel like I can just make whatever the frick I want. Just make whatever I want anytime I want, be whatever I want. And there is a respec system. It's expensive. Sometimes you can get tokens that will be free to let you do a respec for free. Sometimes if you've been away for a while, you got to respec anyway, cause the game did a patch or whatever and they had gave everyone a free respec. But if you want a respec, you got to go to town, pray to a freaking temple thing and pay a shit ton of gold to get it done. But I guess by then you have a lot of gold. Anyway, I think the game probably peaked or has been as good, but it really peaked at Elsewhere. Elsewhere is an amazing expansion for a lot of reasons. The world event dragons are still really fun to do and they still drop great loot. Even if you're max level, you're still going to get increased loot and stuff by going and doing those world events. Of course, there is PvP and raid. I've done some battlegrounds. They are frantic and I'm bad. So there's that. Have you done much of that? Jocelyn?
No, I haven't touched PvP because I'm so scared because there are so many skill trees that I'm like, I am definitely not pushing the right buttons, let alone in the right order. Yeah. I'm just doing my own Dragon Knight thing and I am just yelling and jumping and stabbing and it's great. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm definitely not doing the right things to be engaging with other people who know what they're doing at all. Yeah. I know my limits. That is one.
As usual, there's a skill cap going on here that is, you know, people who just do this all day and they're all really good and they know exactly how to build out their characters and what gear to have and all of that. And I'm just in there hurling fireballs, hoping for a kill. And it's fun. It's fun. It's basically point capture type gameplay for these battlegrounds. But, you know, they're all right. And there's good rewards if you do them occasionally. And they've got an LFG type system where you just, you know, queue for dungeons if you want, or you can manually do it with your friends or whatever. So they've got all those features. A very robust transmog. There we go. So if you want to have tons of different outfits, stuff based on all the gear you found, costumes, recolor everything. They have a dye system that's super comprehensive. You go to a dye station or whatever it's called. I forget what they call it, but basically you can just dye your stuff whatever colors you've unlocked and any combination you want. I made the craziest pink, stupid looking dragon armor the other day. Like, you can just go nuts in there. So they're really into customization and stuff, and that's a big deal for a lot of players. Their most recent expansion, the Blackwood expansion, introduced a bunch. Well, it's basically a focus on like the Oblivion stuff. So, you know, this world's version of hell and its devil. They go all into that, and they added companions. So now I can roll around with a healer or a fighter or a caster or whatever. You can kind of build them out how you want. There's a lady and a dude, so you can choose which one, or have both in your collection and pop one out, whatever you want. You can gear them. You can help choose what specs they use as they level up, because they level up now too.
I was gonna say, yeah, they can level and do skills and stuff as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's trees everywhere in this game.
There is a lot. Oh, I found an odd, this is funny. So the game by default has them on medium chatty, which basically means how much they're going to talk while you're running around with them. And that would be enough for like, I'd find a log and chop it for whatever. And he'd go, well, this is a nice place for gathering, he'd say, or something. And then later on, he might say, we'd kill a bunch of things. And he'd go, and that's that, or something like that. Well, I found this slider. You can turn him, you can shut him up entirely. So he just doesn't say anything. Keep it on medium or crank it to high. And that guy is he's great, because every 2 feet, he's like, whoa, look at the weather we're having, or hey, this grass is weird, or whatever. He's awesome. I really like that guy. He's a total dope.
I like the way you swing your sword.
May I touch it, sir?
Yeah, can I touch your sword? It's a throwback. But he's awesome, and he actually works. He gets the job done. Like, he's a damage dealer for me and does real work. Like, stuff's faster to kill, and it's not just for show. It actually is useful. You can't take him into PvP, though, which sucks, because I really wish he could run around with me in there, but they don't do that. Anyway.
Ah, Bloodsport, my favorite.
So, you know, we've explained the game pretty well. Again, I think just this, the making this a good option for a lot of players, if you're hearing this going, well, you know, I've played WoW forever and I need a change, or I love the Elder Scrolls games and I didn't realize this was adhered so closely to that template, or whatever your reasons are for maybe checking it out. It's a pretty low barrier to entry. They're on sale all the time for like the core package on Steam, and, you know, also on their own store. So getting in there and trying it is no big deal. Again, there's no mandatory sub, so you don't have to get stuck with some kind of contract or forgetting to unsub or whatever, unless you're like Jocelyn and I and just do it and forget to unsub. But we did it on purpose. That happens. You know, there's very little barrier to entry, I think. If it was a free-to-play game, that'd be even less of a barrier, obviously. You'd get right in there. But I think the game is worth it, and I think you know, the $39 or whatever it is for the core game not on sale is totally worth the price of entry. Garrett, you've played around with it enough to know whether you want to more. Like, does it feel like a kind of game that you'd be like, you know what, I think I could get into this more than you are?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's always more just a how much time I have kind of a thing. It's like, if I could invent like MMO day where I had a day where all I had to do was play an MMO. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is definitely a game I could see myself getting lost in.
In fact, I think we've had the conversation where you were like, well, if it was this or Final Fantasy, which way would you go? And you're like,
oh, this 100%. Yeah. I also got back into Final Fantasy last week just to like, maybe I didn't give, I don't like it. I don't like Final Fantasy.
I've had the same
problem. I forgot how many damn load walls there are in that game. Yeah. What was it made in 98? Why are there so many load walls? Jesus.
Yeah. There's a lot of load walls.
Oh my god, I completely forgot about that part of it. Like, I was like, all right, I'll go make a new character, see how it is. And I'm getting in. I'm like, I'll say this about Final Fantasy. It is charming as hell.
Sure.
Like, here's your first, I played 1 hour Final Fantasy review. That drunk dude on the cart with you, I love that guy. He's great.
He's your best friend.
It is like, it's like charming in a way that like reminds me of like Ocarina of Time, like reading the text gen, like, oh, these characters are so quirky and fun. I love them. They just ooze charm.
Yeah.
But I don't like playing that game. Like, it's not,
I can't,
for me.
It doesn't stick with me either. I don't know what my deal is, but again, I think I just prefer the Western style. You know, it's no offense to anything that's sort of a
little
more.
I'm sorry. Didn't you max out in that weird Chinese MMO that you played?
Yeah, but see, now that's really,
you can literally get a giant baby panda mount.
Yeah. Okay,
it's bigger than a full size panda, but it's still a baby panda.
I was gonna say, wait, if it's a giant baby, wouldn't it just?
Oh, it is a baby panda. Just like you hit Control T in Photoshop. Yeah. And stretched it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, okay, to answer your question, Swords of Legends, which is a terrible name, I know. It's got a great acronym, though, SOLO.
It sounds like a sponsor for a game you don't actually play.
No, it sounds like
that's what it sounds like. This podcast brought to you by Swords of Legends.
John
use
Jagger.
The code INSTANCE to get 40 space bucks.
There you go. But John Jagger from Core put it pretty well. He says it just sounds like a mobile game name generator. And he's right. It kind of does. But the game itself is based on actual Chinese mythology, and it is also based on some other very popular literature over there. I don't know enough about it, obviously, and I'm not culturally connected to it, but it feels like you're just Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon kind of vibe. And the music too is like very traditional Chinese music, and it's got a very ancient quality to it. So I guess them leaning into that is what's working for me. Final Fantasy is kind of all over the place. Like, thematically, there's swords, but there's guns. My mount's a chocobo, but that guy's driving a car from Final Fantasy 15. Weird, you know? So, like, there's a lot of that going on in that, because it's more of a theme park, I would say. And that's okay. And there's no complaints about that. But it's very anime theme park, and that's not necessarily where I want to hang as much. And I had a lot of fun in it, don't get me wrong. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm currently subbed because I'm fiddling some stuff in there. But But for me, give me dark, give me dragons, give me that which I desire. Or that sounds
I was
like
just about to make it. Yep.
Anyway, there's something to be said for taste, obviously, and that's all we're really talking here about. One final note I wanted to mention: I really like my portable bank cat. It's a literal cat, and he's my bank, or she is. I think it's a she. And you click on the cat, and he or she goes, all right, you want to take a look at what's in your bank? And then I can deposit shit in my bank because I got a cat who's the bank. So that's cool. And then I got a lady I can bring up who will buy all my junk. So if I'm overburdened and I'm in the middle of a fight or whatever, I just hit Q. Boop, she pops up. What can I do for you? And she doesn't even seem to be bothered.
You can eat this cheese wheel.
Yeah. You can eat this cheese wheel. Eat it now. And she doesn't even complain about like 15 demons and dead bodies and all the shit everywhere. She just wants to buy my shit.
Sounds like a pawn shop in Florida.
Kinda. It's a good comparison. Anyway, any final thoughts on ESO from anybody here?
It's good.
It's good. It's a good game.
It's good.
Yeah.
There's some Elder Scrolls ass Elder Scrolls. Also, I want Bank Cat.
Yeah, Bank Cat is great. Bank Cat was cheap too. It was on sale.
Is it Bank Cat? Or is it Bank Khajiit?
No, it's not a full. It's an actual kitty.
It's
not
it's a kitten. Okay.
Yeah, but
that makes it so much better.
It's a little talking kitty, and the kitty's got like a turban. It's like a little. You got to see it.
I was gonna say I did not know about Bank Cat.
Yeah,
I've been missing out.
Sounds like the ravings of a lunatic.
It's a talking cat. And he has a turban. It's great.
It's pretty good. For some reason, he fits in. I don't know how he does.
I put my stuff in him.
Yeah. But he's a lot like, if you've done any questing in the Elsewhere stuff, there's like one of their revered leaders is an actual cat, like a little cat that talks. And there's a lot of that in there. But they do it in such a way, it all feels fine. The cat people rock, man. They're great.
It all feels fine.
It all feels fine. All right, let's see.
You guys, I promise. It feels fine.
Oh, I forgot. I captured some audio of Peter Stormare because I love him. For those who are like, wait, how do I know that name? You've seen him in every movie almost ever made. He was the devil in Constantine. He was the guy that put Steve Buscemi in the
chipper. He's the best part of Armageddon.
He's the best part of Armageddon, up in space, hanging out by himself, being all stinky. He got killed by dinosaurs in the second Jurassic Park movie. Got eaten by the little ones. Anyway, he's in this, and he's great. Listen to this.
You would use Daedric magic to cure me? That's the very magic that harmed me. You don't need to do this. I fought an army that claimed to be invincible and emerged victorious. Filgor's poison won't stop me.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That was
a really long way to say I was born of this.
Yeah. Well, he had a bad deal happen to him in that game, but... It's a fun storyline. And then John Cleese, of course. There's a little short one.
Fun little jaunt, actually. Full of traps and corpses and nasty beasties filling up the bits in between.
He's great. Plays Caldwell. Great character. He's there in vanilla. And then all through the game, you deal with him in different ways. He's great. Wears a pot on his head instead of a instead of a helmet. And has a spoon ladle for a sword. And he's lost his mind. He's fantastic.
John Cleese could read from a corporate directory and I would still smile.
Yep. So there you go. Our deeper dive into what Elder Scrolls Online might be for you out there. So let us know what you think. Time for a couple of quick emails.
Hello there.
Here's one from JFL, who wrote in to theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. Says, hello, Scott and crew. I thought I would drop you a line to tell you that your conversation with Jules was very inspiring. I'm very thankful to Jules for pointing out that not having a female perspective in previous episodes was a missed opportunity. I thought it was great that you invited her, and I'm grateful for her perspective. She clearly is a great friend, and you are lucky to have her. As I listened to your conversation, I reflected on what I was doing in my own personal life to make my team more inclusive and where my blind spots might be. Like you, I want to be part of the change. At the end of the podcast, you both hoped that this conversation would make a difference in some way. So I thought I would write you and let you know that it did help me and motivated me to do more and listen more. I'm grateful for that. Keep up the work, JFL. Well, thank you, JFL. I appreciate that. Jules was awesome on that episode, and I'm really glad she took the time to come talk to us. If you haven't heard it yet, you can go back and listen. A couple episodes ago, not too far away. Go check it out. Also one from Adam, a.k.a. El Bacho. El Bacho. He says... Hello, I listened to your Instance show where Garrett and Scott talked about the changes to the show. And this, by the way, for some who were a little confused in the chat room, we talked about these changes like, what, a month before the Blizzard stuff happened?
It feels like 10 years ago. But
yeah. And I've said before, like, I'm really glad we did. I think the show would have ended the week of the Blizzard stuff. It may have ended had we not already decided we were going to change things up. So this is all.
Yeah, I would have pitched my make Scott listen to nothing but unfiltered Mark Hoppus lyrics podcast.
Any chance I get. Where is it? Oh, he says, I just wanted to thank you. I felt like I just got permission to play other MMOs and games. I know this sounds silly, but I've been a listener since around the time Andrew left, and the Instance was the only diehard connection back to WoW. When you said you were going to move one frame back, and it resonated with me, and I started thinking about all the MMO/grindy games I want to play, but WoW loyalty got in the way. I'm excited to see, or to say, I'm jumping into Final Fantasy XIV and have started playing some Red Dead Redemption 2, including a few online versions. I'm not quitting WoW, but I'm not going to play the grind after I complete the current patch story. Thank you both, Adam, a.k.a. El Bacho. Yeah, that was just an interesting take. It's weird. I have to admit, I'll just be honest here. I felt a similar feeling when all this happened. And by that, I mean, once you felt like your loyalties had been slapped a little, like it wasn't equal the other direction, I suddenly went, oh, well then fine, I'm gonna talk about other stuff and I'm not gonna feel bad about it. Like I'm gonna do it without any remorse. Otherwise it would have felt like, oh, this game I'm so devoted to, it's all I ever wanted to talk about before, but now I can't, and now it feels weird. And it's almost like, I'm not saying it's a good thing, I don't want any of this to have happened what happened, but it did kind of give me permission to say, fine, we're going to move away a little bit. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, but I did have that feeling a little like El Bacho.
Yeah, things change.
There you go. Things change.
It's a long time to be talking about the same damn thing.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Like 15 years, it's a long time. And like we said, we already talked about this before all this stuff went down, but part of me was like, well, now that this has happened, I feel even better about the decision. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And
well, yeah, it's almost like an old friend, right? When you've been doing something and playing something and, you know, involved in a universe for so long, it's like you feel bad and you feel like that connection, and turning around and walking away from that is very, very difficult to do. Right. So I think it was like you say, it's terrible that all of this stuff happened, but I'm really glad that it's all out in the open now and people are talking about it. And I'm also really glad that it's allowing not only content creators, but I think players as well. It is giving kind of permission to break that connection and to explore other gaming avenues. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if anything, it was probably a really bad relationship that we all had with Blizzard and with WoW specifically, of, you know, taking up so much time and the diehard devotion. Like, there's a lot out there. And I think now we've just kind of given ourselves permission to explore a larger gaming world. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's so many experiences out there to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's not, and it doesn't take away from the legacy of WoW or its influence. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly the influence can be seen every day. Almost everything we've talked about, that influence is apparent. Does this MMO, the one we talked about today, does it even exist without it? The Final Fantasy game director says there would be no Final Fantasy 14 without World of Warcraft. Like, there's literally, you know, there's a paper/crumb trail back to WoW and almost all these things. And it's okay to acknowledge that and to respect, you know, what it did to the industry, but it's okay to, like, you know, pull your hat back a little bit and look further. And that's what we're doing. So take that, world. All right. I think that's going to do it. Jocelyn, what a pleasure it's been to have you here today. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. It was really fun. Yeah. I mean, I'll talk about ESO all day, every day. Like, I really, as we just talk about not like devoting to one game, I'm like, yes, all day, every day, ESO, let's go. But yeah, I do really enjoy my time in there. So yeah, I love talking about it. And trying to convert people and let them know it's changed. Because I think a lot of people started it like day one and bounced off and haven't come back. And it's changed a lot in really good ways.
I agree. Well, I hope to have you on again and soon and more. We'll talk about that later. there's maybe some cool stuff coming, everybody. We'll keep you on the edge of your seats here for a minute. Garrett, anything you want to... before I forget, Jocelyn, your other shows. So The Gamer's End's amazing. Of course, Angry Chicken's amazing. Anything you want to mention about either of those or anything else you got going on right now and where people can find it?
So you can also follow me over on Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays over on Twitch. But I did want to mention the Gamers Inn episode. I did go and find it. I put the link in the show notes. It's episode 472, where Scott and I sat down and talked about ESO a couple months ago. So if you are interested in even more ESO talk, we did it over there on episode 472 of Gamers Inn.
Yeah, and we gushed. I remember.
Oh, so much. Yeah.
I gushed on that game so hard that day. And I remember it was weird. Like, when I hung up with you, that's all I wanted to do was go play. And I had other important shit to do. I had things to do. And I was like, I got to do all these things. But then I could play that. And so I think I may have done that for a while longer than I should have. Well, anyway, thank you again. Garrett, anything going on in your world you'd like to mention?
Oh, there's always things going on. You can find everything I do over at amove.tv. Just put up a brand new episode of Into the Nexus last night. So you can go listen to Kyle and myself talk about Heroes of the Storm. And we also announced that we're going to be covering news at the moment of Blizzard Variety as we continue to report on the lawsuit, breaking it off into its own, show. So it's going to be an extra upload every week.
Oh, that's great.
Covering updates on that, because it is just a continuing story.
It ain't over
yet. We're going to be doing there, and it'll be its own video on YouTube as well. So nice. Check out Into the Nexus.
Yeah, very cool. I was going to bring it up today, but didn't. But the people who have been let go on the Diablo team came as a bit of a surprise, but I don't think we're done. I think there's still more stuff and it'll keep happening. And I do want to say,
considering leadership is ignoring the four very specific and reasonable demands of the employees. I think there's still quite a lot to be done.
I think a lot will happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not done with the story. Also, just as a side note, I said this on Core, I'll say it again. I just want to give props to the hardworking men and women who came through and actually made those Diablo 2 cinematics look so amazing. I cannot believe how good those look compared to the old stuff. I didn't think that was going to happen. Garrett, we've had long conversations about whether they would deliver on that promise or not. So just to pull back the shroud a little bit, get past the ugly part of Blizzard and get down to the hardworking people that are still just trying to keep their jobs and make it happen, those cinematics look insane. I can't believe they pulled that off. Anyway, total side note. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here. Send us those emails, theinstance@gmail.com. We're not quite ready for the Patreon shift, but we're getting there. For now, you can support us over at theinstance.net. Sign up and become a supporter at the Instance Plus program. When that changes, we'll make sure you know, and it'll all be super simple, but there's a little bit of work to be done there. So watch for that. You can find more stuff like this at frogpants.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instance Show for the show, me at Scott Johnson, Garrett Art, and of course, Joss Plays. And you can find more stuff like this right over there at Frog Pants, like I said. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Joss, for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.